lifestyles of the rich and delinquent, wealthy Americans defaulting at a high rate.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Bill Radke. Wealthy Americans are more likely to walk away from their homes than those of more modest means. A report out this morning from the New York Times says well-heeled homeowners are dumping expensive properties they can no longer afford. Here to talk about this with us is our own Nancy Marshall Genzer. She joins us live from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Stacey.
So, Nancy, lots of wealthy homeowners have stopped paying their mortgages. Where is this data coming from?
Well, the Times analyzed data from CoreLogic, and that's a firm that tracks real estate trends. And the data shows that more than one in seven homeowners with loans over $1 million has missed at least three payments in a row. Hmm. They're seriously delinquent. Only about one in 12 homeowners who owe less than $1 million is seriously delinquent. That's basically the rest of us. Now, Stacey, you may have heard out there in Los Angeles that California was hit very hard by the housing meltdown.
I feel like I've heard something about that. Yeah.
Yeah, something about that. So some of these multi-million dollar houses we're talking about are in the most exclusive suburbs of places like San Francisco.
Do we have any idea why the wealthy are more likely to walk away from their homes than other people?
Well, the Times report says these wealthy homeowners just say, look, their houses are not a good investment and they have decided to walk away. Of course, their houses are more expensive than the average home, so their mortgage payments could be close to $10,000 a month. And also, some of these delinquent mortgages are for second homes that may be used as an investment. And it's a lot easier to walk away from a house if you're not actually living in it, if you're renting it out or if it's a vacation home. And the Times also says that the wealthy are less susceptible to tactics used by the government and banks to shame them into paying their mortgages.
Thank you, Nancy. Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. The markets are looking good this Friday. China's Shanghai Composite Index added almost 2.3%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index jumped 0.5%. London's FTSE is up 0.33%. Yesterday, U.S. markets saw big gains. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 0.2% to close at 10,138. San Francisco is considering a ban on the sale of pets within city limits. All pets, that is, except for fish. After 5 hours of testimony, the city's Commission on Animal Control and Welfare decided to delay a vote on the issue. April Domboski has our story.
At first, the commission was concerned about inhumane puppy and kitten mills. But then they learned of the hamster problem.
Mommy, mom, oh, I want a hamster, please.
That's Commission Chair Sally Stevens. She says they've heard many stories where rescue centers get saddled with animals children tire of in a matter of weeks.
We're kind of trying to interrupt that step from the impulse buy to ending up at a euthanized animal care and control.
But pet store owners say people will just buy their pets outside city limits. Jennifer Graffelman is the manager at Animal Connection in the city. She says small businesses like hers will become casualties of a largely symbolic gesture.
It's probably eventually going to put us out of business. What San Francisco wants to do is tell the nation that let's just stop animal sales in pet store retail altogether.
San Francisco has a long history of legislating in favor of minority rights. And this is one area where some local business people wish the city wouldn't take the lead. I'm April Domboski for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com/market. And by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com.
In an effort to get their balance sheets back in the black, U.S. automakers have been scrapping some underperforming models, among them the Mercury. Ford recently announced it will stop production of the 71-year-old model later this year. Contributor Hank Rosenfeld has this ode to the car that helped define him.
My mom drove a Mercury, and so did my dad and my sister and our next-door neighbor in Detroit, Mr. Krause. In fact, every day it seemed he was out in front of his house hosing down that 1963 Monterey. The first Mercury was designed by Henry Ford's son, Edsel, in 1939. Fancier than a Ford, but actually with the same body as a Ford, Mercuries were for the expanding American middle-class market. The biggest seller was the Grand Marquis, which was more like a junior Lincoln. Back then, Mercury was branded the Big M, with models like the Montego, the Montclair, the Meteor. And it was the sponsor of the Ed Sullivan Show.
Now, get set for a thrill, because we're going to put you in the driver's seat of a dream car.
Back when we dream big in this country, I learned to drive in my mom's Lincoln Mercury Colony Park station wagon with the fake wood paneling and the third seat in the back facing backwards. Instead of watching the world go by, you could feel yourself pulling away from it. 1978 was Mercury's biggest year. It sold nearly 600,000 cars. The heyday when Farrah Fawcett did their TV commercials. Now Farrah Fawcett's gone, and so is this.
Cougar. At the sign of the cat.
I'll never forget my Cougar, 1973, with the flip-up headlights hidden in the grill. I get into that bucket seat and I'm gone. But sales last year for Mercurys were down to 92,299. The total market share was less than 1%. Yeah, Mercury's just too retrograde. Growing up in Detroit, you pay attention to these things. They're part of who you are. Well, who we were, anyway.
We've got some of those old Mercury ads Hank mentioned on our website, marketplace.org. And finally, Facebook is closing its virtual gift shop next month. It was the social networking site's first online store. You could buy a little picture of a birthday cake or a rose and send it to one of your friends. The graphics cost $1 each. Facebook had said the gift shop was part of a plan to become a major player in the virtual goods industry. Apparently, that didn't happen. I would post a little sad face tribute on my Facebook page, but there's no way I'm paying $1 for that. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.